This school, what's it called, or just Oak Grove School?
It's called the Oak Grove School, and we have a little history book that was written by Aunt Eloise Miller, one of the sisters, one of my father's sisters, concerning the founding and the operation of that school.
And do you know how long that was in operation, or for what grade? Like,
it was grades, I think, 1 through 7, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that school became a part of the Anderson County School for District 4.
I see. So it was just absorbed into the regular school system.
That's right. Absorbed into the regular school system back when they changed from the, I believe it changed from the Rosenwald schools in the county,
mm-hmm.
Took over the school system again to somewhat support the school system. Before that, black schools were solely supported by the black community and the churches in the area.
Now, was this a small school? I mean, in terms of size, how large was it?
Small one-room schoolhouse, about 20 by 20.
20 by 20. And how many children were in the room, do you know?
All that you could pack in it.
And there were two teachers? Or
two teachers.
Two teachers,
yes.
Do you know what time of day that they started school?
I'm not sure about the hours.
Mm-hmm. Or how long a year they attended, just a few months or what?
It was a two-sectional type of school system, see, because school was open, and in fact, even after the county took over the school system, in the rural areas, the black schools,
mm-hmm.
they were open during the winter months, and they also opened during the summer months,
mm-hmm.
but the kids had to be out of school to work in the fields during the farming season,
mm-hmm.
and so they had a split session of school in the rural areas in black schools.
Because they had to go to work.
Had to go to work, right. Yeah.
Now, I asked you about the jobs, and you said they were mostly teachers. Were there any other jobs that you can think of or things that they did?
Not that I know of. That's right.
They weren't domestics or anything?
Some might have been,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know a great deal about.
Seemed to be mostly teachers in your
family.
Mostly
teachers, and I imagine some did do domestic work.
Mm-hmm. How about young black people back then? Did they have a way of earning money? Or what we would call teenagers today?
Well, I can only speak about myself.
Like in your father's day, would he have had a way to earn money as a young man?
Daddy, my father, just like I told you, they grew produce on the farms,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them, in fact, even people who didn't own their land,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the people who were tenant farmers on other people's land, they allowed them to have gardens, and they could sell the produce and some of the material off, the more liberal landowners would allow that. And then they would hire out to cut wood and to do yard work and all those sorts of things about doing that thing.
Where did your grandfather's family shop?
M.M. Hunter's store.
M.M. Hunter.
M.M. Hunter's store. That's where everybody shopped.
Was this one big store that had everything?
One big general store that had everything you could possibly think of in it. If you wanted it, you could get it at Hunter's.
In other words, they sold furniture, clothing, groceries, everything.
They sold everything that you could think of.
Mm. Did your family, to your knowledge, did they buy for cash or credit?
Everybody back then in that day bought cash and credit. If you were a reliable person, then you had an account.
Uh-huh.
And you settle that account sometime each week. And my dad is, he settled his account every week. The others settled it every month. It depends on when the bulk of your income was due. And some settled it at the end of the farming season.
Hmm.
But everybody who had proven that they were honest and to pay their bills, they had an account at some store like that.
Now, this M.M. Hunter store, was that owned by white people?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Owned by the Hunter family. That's an old family of this area.
Pendleton. How long did that stay in existence, do you know?
That's in the 50s, I imagine, but when they closed, finally closed up.
Okay.
But the building still stands now.
What's in the building now?
The building is where the Tillman Historical Association is housed.
Oh.
That's the old Hunter store. That's the first old Hunter store. Now the one next to it, the building next to it was the newest store. That was the late store of the Hunter family.
So they actually had another store right next to it that they came along a little later.
Right.
When did that come along? Do you know? 30s?
Must have been probably in the early 30s.
Mm-hmm. So they actually had eventually two stores.
They had two stores. They used the one where the historical association is now. They used that for a warehouse after they built the other store.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And the building behind there, that's kind of a mini mall, like, that was a cotton warehouse.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, because they were cotton dealers, too. They bought and sold cotton.
Uh-huh. Did...
And one thing people don't realize, chickens, when you bought chickens from a store, the chickens were alive. And they delivered the chickens along with your other groceries to your home, and they were alive.
And you picked out your chicken
that you wanted alive. And
they were really fresh then.
That's right, they were fresh chickens. And the meat that you bought, the store itself butchered the meat every week that they sold.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the unique things about stores back then.
They were actually buying some live produce, like the chickens, and you had to clean them yourself and all that. Did your family usually buy clothing or make their own?
Both. My mother made a lot of our clothing. In fact, my wife and her brother, her relatives kid me now about when I came to college, I had homemade breeches. What we call them, breeches, but they're pants. I had some pants that mother made when I went to college, and all of my underclothes were handmade, and they made a lot of clothes. The dresses, they were seamstress in that time.
Yeah, they're very good at handwork.
Very good, very good. In fact, my sister had clothes made by a lady here that just died a few weeks ago. Her clothes were made by that lady ever since she was a little girl.
Mm. Really beautiful work, then. What kind of clothing did they own that you know of back then? What would be their sets of clothing or types they would need?
Usually they owned one suit, and then the other clothing was work clothes, mm-hmm. overalls, and shirts.
Right, and the women work dresses. House dresses.
Women wore house dresses, and they usually had one or two nice dresses that they wore to church.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Very nice. Now you see the pictures, like you see grandmother's picture up there. You notice the clothing they were wearing.
That's beautiful.
Very nice clothes.
Yeah, lovely.
And all of the clothes, and all of the pictures I've seen of my family, even as far back as we have photographs, they're very nice clothes.
What about the food now? Did you raise most of your own food in your garden?
Gardens and every house, even here in town, practically every house had a cow, and they raised a hog. Each household raised at least one hog every year, and they had chickens, and they had gardens.
Mm. So then they... Most of that food was raised then.
That's right.
So what kinds of foods would they have to go and buy at a Hunter store or that sort of thing?
You bought your sugar and your coffee. And a lot of times you would trade the wheat that you grow and the corn that you grow for your flour and your grits. And you buy rice. You bought rice. Mm-hmm. We didn't grow rice much in this area. And,
no.
That's about all the food you bought.
Right. And you said that some of the family was made by, you mentioned some furniture you still had in your possession that was made by your grandfather, I think you told me. Now, did they buy any of their furniture at all, or did they make most of it?
They made most of their furniture. They made most, in fact, in my grandfather's days, they made most of their furniture and most of their tools they made.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were blacksmiths, and blacksmiths made their tools. Now, during my father's time, we have furniture here in this house that my father made.
Mm.
this table here, for instance, he made this.
Beautiful.
The dining room suit, he made that.
My goodness.
And there's some other things around here that he made.
Would they maybe buy a bed, like a bedstead or something? Or would they?
Yeah.
The bed that we have in our building.
They'd buy a bed.
This is the first couch they had.
And some of the other, a few other things they would buy. But the stove.
That kind of thing. They would have to buy a stove, yeah. Right. And your wife said that this couch over here was your father's?
That was my father and mother's first, part of their first living room. It's that.
It's a nice piece. I've asked you this sort of before, but what kind of furniture or oak baskets or tools or quilts or other things made in the community or in your home are still in possession of your family? You named a couple. You've got several pieces of furniture there.
We have several pieces of furniture. I have tubes out in the barn and in the shop. I have tubes. That, in fact, I have a set of what they call jack planes that they use to make tongue and groove flooring with. And those were owned by my great-grandfather.
So that goes back a really long way, then.
And other tubes, a number of tubes out there that Daddy owned and made.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the older members of your family known for special talents, such as a musician or a singer?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were musicians in the family, and they were noted for their singing ability. A lot of the, especially the in-laws, were noted for their musical ability.
Your wife's family?
No.
Oh, of the other in-laws, the Winstons or
the
something
Winstons.
You were talking about?
They came from the Winston
The Winston had good singing voices.
They were musicians. They were.
Could they play lots of instruments?
They're pianists, yeah.
Oh. What about preaching?
Believe it or not, when we first started our family reunions, having our family reunions, I think it was about 10 years before we finally got a minister in the family. We were not noted for the ministry.
That's interesting, because so many of the people I've talked to do have a lot of preachers.
And just in the last, not too long ago, we had one of our cousins' son became a minister.
Finally got religion.
We had religion all the
kidding.
Time. But,
well,
we were just not ministers.
That's right. No, but you were so good at so many other things. Because my next.
Well, that is unusual. It's very unusual for a family to go that far without a single minister.
And of your size, because
mm-hmm.
I've run into it so much
we
with
didn't
some
have any.
The other families had so many ministers in it. What about craftsmen? We've really talked, there seem to be craftsmen all through your family. And anything you wanted to add to that? Because I think we've talked about that already quite a bit.
Well, that's basically what we were.
Yeah, you all practically, that was your biggest calling, was where
right.
You were craftsmen. And needle workers, you said that the women of your family
yes.
were very good at sewing and making your clothes. Do you remember hearing anything about hard times or good times that happened to your grandparents, let's go a little further, like floods or tornadoes or other disasters.
Well, I've been in a tornado. This house has been destroyed by a tornado.
The house that we're in right now actually
oh, yes.
was.
Uh-huh.
When was that?
1935.
And my goodness.
1935, and all of us were home except my father. And my brother recognized it as being a tornado because when he was a little boy, my oldest brother, a tornado seriously damaged the house back when he was a little boy. Mm. So he told us it was a tornado and to go under the bed. We had iron beds in what was called the boys' room. Usually back then the boys had a room and the girls had a room.
Mm.
And we had two iron beds in the boys' room and we went under the beds. And that is probably what saved us from injury, because the entire house was ramshacked. The roof was gone. The room that we were in was the only room where the ceiling was still left. The room that we were in, and we were under the bed, and the timber and all that fell in there fell on the bed and didn't fall on us.
Mm.
And before that, now, I know that one of my daddy's brothers were lost in a house fire.
Oh.
Back when they were young. That was after his father had died. Their home had a two-story home out on the place out in Oak Grove section on the land. And the house caught on fire, and one of the brothers were trapped in the house. And after that, they never would build another two-story house.
Yeah, because of his being trapped in there, that's all. About when was that?
I don't remember when it was, but Daddy was 10 or 12 years old.
Oh, so that would be before 1920.
I've heard him talk about it.
Certainly.
Uncle Henry was still home.
And Uncle Henry hadn't died yet in his turbine. So.
He was still home, that's all.
So this would really be around the 1900s or earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. What about illnesses? Do you remember the flu epidemic? Not you yourself. Do you remember hearing about the flu epidemic
well,
of 1917, 1918?
Right after World War I, when they had the flu epidemic, and they talked about a lot of people dying. And in fact, our cemetery up there have grave after grave after grave unmarked that were children that died during the flu epidemic. And I don't remember any of our family dying during that time. But I've heard them talk about it a lot.
Right. How many did?
Now, my aunt and uncle, Uncle Henry and Aunt Rebecca, they were in a flood in Cleveland, Ohio one time. And he swam through the water and with Aunt Rebecca. Believe it or not, he...
Holding on to her?
Holding on to her, and they swam to high ground.
Oh, gee. Did any members of your family serve in World War I?
My father was in World War I.
Where did he go?
France. Went to, let's see, what's the name of that city he talked about a lot? He went to France. And I can't think of the name of the city that he went to, but he served in France. Okay. Uncle Hovey, on my mother's side, was in World War I, and he also went.
Did the service affect their lives in any way or change them that you know of?
No, none of it. Daddy was slightly gassed. You know, they used gas in that war, and he was gassed at one time. But it didn't seem to affect his health in any way.
Well, that's good. You told me, we talked earlier about church and your church denomination that your family belongs to and one that they attended. And it's, tell me again, though,
It's the AME Church. The name of it is King's Chapel.
King's Chapel AME Church. And to your knowledge, everybody has always belonged to that church.
That's right.
They've never belonged to a different denomination. No. Do you know why? Just because they've all been part of that church.
Well, we are strong on tradition, I guess.
Right. They've always been Methodists.
That's right.
Who was the minister of the church when your father was young? Do you have any idea who that minister might have been?
The first minister... During the early days of the churches, he was a Jefferson. But I don't remember Chappelle. And then there was Reverend Brown, who was a member of that church back when I was a little boy.
Oh, okay.
And so I remember him very well because he put the first heating system in the church.
Mm.
It was a used coal furnace that they found somewhere, and they dug out the basement and installed that coal furnace. And, of course, it operated very well with proper maintenance most times. Sometimes they forget to do the proper cleaning, and we'd have to dismiss church early because of the smoke.
Oh, gee. Where would the ministers live back then? Did they live?
They lived in the parsonage.
They did have
parsonage,
back even then.
We still have it. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And you still have it then.
Yeah.
Is it the same parsonage?
It's on the same spot of ground, but I think it's about the third building.
Uh-huh.
Because the parsonage ground, the land for the parsonage was purchased even before the land for the present church was purchased.
Right.
The deeds on the land for the parsonage are dated 1868.
Mm-hmm. Did the minister have any other employment besides being a minister?
In the early days, most of them did not. But here lately, practically all of them do.
Oh, I see.
Have other employment.
Now they have unemployment, but they didn't then. It's usually the other way around.
That's right.
Why do they have to have employment now? I'm curious.
Standard of living.
Yeah, of course.
The standard of living back then, the people took care of the minister. And the fact that they furnished him all of his food and fuel and everything else.
Furnished him a home.
Furnished him a home. Mm. And that's not really enough now.
What other churches were important in the community of your father's town?
The Baptist Church and what was called a CME Methodist, I guess. What was the United...
Which is now the United Methodist Church?
No, it was called Methodist Episcopal.
Okay.
Oh, that would be the Methodist Episcopal before they became United Methodist. Right.
Those were the three leading churches in the area.
Are they any of those still active?
Oh, yeah.
They're all active.
Silver Spring Baptist Church is right across Mechanic Street over here.
Okay.
That's their new church. And the United Methodist Church that grew out of the old Methodist Church is right up the street on the right.
Oh, perhaps that's... Did they have cemeteries, these churches?
Did they have what?
Cemeteries.
Yes. Silver Spring Cemetery is down where the old church is, and that old church is still standing down there.
Uh-huh.
The Methodist Church had a cemetery out what is now, was called then, Old Abanion Graveyard.
Oh, good name.
It was out in the rural area. That was their cemetery.
Do you remember hearing about camp meetings? Did your father talk about going to those?
Oh, I've attended camp meetings when I was a kid.
Yeah, but that would be a little later. Do you remember hearing about camp meetings that your father, his age group, would have attended? They stayed the same, though?
Basically the same type of affair, only that the religious part of it was probably stressed more back then than it was during my day. During my day, the commercial side of it was really the thing. You didn't even realize that they were having church services.
By commercial, what happened? What were they doing?
Oh, everybody would bring in all kind of attractions, just like mostly eating establishments would set up shop all along the streets, and people would sell.
Mm. But back in your father's day, they would pay attention
they
a
did
bit
that,
more to religion.
But the eating was mostly for the people who were coming to attend the religious services.
Themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what time of year would these be held?
Well, they always held the ones when they were holding them here in October.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that the camp meeting Sunday was always on the Sunday that the World Series was being played.
Oh. And,
that's the one here. Now, they had others at other churches like it. A church up here next, close to Seneca, Bethel Grove, would have a large camp meeting. And another church at Central would have a camp meeting.
But they'd be held right here in Pendleton and Central.
No, only the one for the Methodist Church here would be
held. Would be held right at Pendleton, okay. And how long would these meetings last? I mean, how long?
All day.
All day, and how many days?
One day is...
Oh.
2 days.
2 days?
Saturday and Sunday, that's right.
Did people stay overnight then,
mm-hmm.
if they were two days?
Yeah.
Did they stay overnight at camp? Did they make places to stay, or did they stay with friends or what?
Some stayed with friends, and some stayed... they would set up camp in little tents.
Mm-hmm. And who would lead these services?
The different ministers would lead the services. It was back then, a camp meeting was equivalent to what is a convention now.
Okay.
That was our churches have district conventions and annual conventions, and that's essentially what a camp meeting was.
That's right, like the conferences, South Carolina Conference. Or something like that. Yeah, different churches worship together, or was it just the Methodist Church that came together?
It was the Methodist Church. Now, I don't know of any other churches that joined in during this time. I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, just Methodist. Do you remember hearing your older relatives talk about camp meetings that they attended, or any stories or anything that you
Not a
tell
great
us?
Deal, see, because that was a different Methodist church from ours. That was not our Methodist church.
Oh, I see.
That was the church that grew into the United, just part of the United Methodist Church.
Did your family go to these, then?
Oh, yes. We went to them a little bit, but not much.
Uh-huh. You didn't attend them as much because you weren't members of that particular United, that church. Did you or did your father or his father attend singing convention? Did you ever hear about those?
I don't think so. I'm not sure about that. I don't think so. I didn't hear him talk about it.
How about singing schools?
No.
A little more sophisticated.
No.
What about favorite songs? Did you ever hear? You did say there were some musicians in your family. Do you remember any favorite pieces that they played or favorite songs that they sang?
Yeah, a few.
Gospels or hymns or.
Uncle Henry and Uncle Joe had one song that they were their favorite, and that's "How Great Thou Art." Uncle Henry sang that up until 100 years old. He sang it for us. We have it recorded.
You have a recording of his singing "How Great Thou Art."
How Great Thou Art.
Oh, that's wonderful. And this Uncle Henry, where is the relationship with?
He's my daddy's brother.
Oh, so this would be Henry Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were there any occasions when black and white people came together to worship back then that you ever heard of?
We've had white people to attend our church on a very irregular basis. Maybe one, not over two at the most.
Right.
But very, very seldom.
I remember somebody coming, but they'd always come in and sit up on the front seat and spectators like. It wasn't like worship. It was like coming to watch a show and go home. It wasn't like worshiping with me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't that.
They just came to see.
Some would come out of curiosity, and some would come at special occasions.
Uh-huh.
They'd made a sizable contribution or something to the church. They would come to be honored.
You mean some white people really did make contributions?
Oh, sure.
Oh, all right.
They made contributions.
They always were special. Mm-hmm. They had to sit in front of everybody.
Show off a little bit.
They had to sit on the front seat. Mm-hmm. And no one could sit in front of them. Kind of.
Yeah, that's what it was. You're right.
Condescending type of thing. It wasn't anything that was pleasant and nice.
excuse me. In your church, back then in your father's time, were there men's groups and women's groups that were active?
Yeah, we had a men's club. There was a men's club in the church back then, and the Women's Missionary Society, which is still a big part of our church, and the Young People's Department, which back when I was a kid was called the League, the AME League,
which
was a young people's group. We met every Sunday afternoon, and the student's board, the usher board, and the deaconess board. Those were different groups, organizations within the church.
But did they come along more when you were growing up, or were they part of your father's
They were far more active back during my father's day and
Was
young. Yeah, they're very much more active than they are now.
Oh, for goodness.
We still have them, but they were very active back then.
They were much more well-attended and that
sort
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do any of these groups do things for other people, missions or that, up and outreach and that kind of
thing? Well, especially the Missionary Society. They would go out in the community and do just what it said, mission work. The needy and the poor. Everybody was poor, but there were some that were poorer than others.
Right.
They would always ready to lend a helping hand. They would help nurse the sick. And in fact, back then the church was more inclined to be a part of the community than it is now, because you have all the agencies, the state and the county agencies, that look after needy people. Now, those were not in place then.
So the church really took care of all
that
sort of thing.
The church took care of that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did your father go to school when he was a child?
Same place I went to school. Not really the same place. Now, he went to Oak Grove School.
All right.
Because that school was right there next to where they lived. right across the highway from where they lived.
That was the one that was established
by... That was the one established by his family.
Right.
And then he went to Anderson County Training School, which is the same school that I went to. And he went to South Carolina State College, which is the same college I went to.
Now, so he graduated from that college?
No, he didn't graduate. The war interrupted his education.
Right. So, we talked about school terms before and school days, and you didn't know the length of time, but how far did your father live from school? Did he walk to school, right?
Everybody walked to
everybody
school.
Walked
Even
back
when
there.
I was going to school, everybody walked to school. Buses for black people is a thing. It just happened recently.
Mm. So it was all walking
to school.
And, black children walked.
In fact, during my high school days, the only people who rode the bus then, and the bus was supported by the PTA.
Mm.
The county didn't support the bus system for black schools. You walked to school 4 or 5 miles to nothing for black kids to walk to school. Back when I was a kid.
And so your father lived very close to school, but some children lived a long distance.
That's right.
Right, and had a long walk.
But they
a
had,
long way.
But back then they had more community schools. Each
mm-hmm.
community had a little school.
Oh,
okay. Community.
So they didn't have to walk quite as far.
Didn't have to walk quite as far.
What about lunch? Did they bring their own lunches?
You brought your own lunch, yeah. Back then you did. When I was in school, we